It's Diet, Health and Fitness. So now, welcome to the show. Denise Oliver is still here.
I'm still here.
Ben Calder has joined Denise.
Good
and
afternoon.
So have I.
Hi.
So thank you for coming all the way up from Shrewsbury today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Ben, can I ask, is it Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury?
Do you know there's a big debate on about that at the
always,
moment?
Isn't there?
No, but quite a serious one because of the development of the new university we have there. There's a full public debate going on about whether or not Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury. And my understanding is it depends on kind of which side of the tracks you're on with it. And there are a few other technicalities. And I just choose which one I want depending on who I'm speaking to. So whichever one you fancy on the day.
I did work with a nurse once and she was from Shrewsbury. And I said, well, Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury? She said, depends which side of the river you live on.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I'm not sure which side of the river's which.
Me
so
neither.
I go to Shrewsbury.
Yeah, sure.
But I go to a different place. I always go to Shrewsbury. So it's a bit difficult when we go in the same
it
car,
is, yeah.
isn't it?
Yes.
We've got some great music chosen by Ben. Always uplifting music. Tell us about Antwerpen.
Okay, so a bit of Enter Shikari. I love them just because they're a really nice synthesis between kind of rock and kind of modern dance and sampling, and they do a really nice synthesis. And the lyrics that the guys write are often very integral in their nature. They're very conscious. They're very kind of aware of people and what's going on around them. So I love their stuff.
It's very warm in here. So our little temperature clock is saying we've gone over 28 degrees now.
Woo-hoo.
So how do we keep cool in this hot weather? What do you do, Ben?
Most of the time, actually, I just look at allowing myself to be comfortable with it, but just simple stuff, hydration and non-heating foods.
Yes,
so,
quite.
You know,
yeah.
Having
so
things,
what would you have?
I'd be having things like nettle, mint, coconut. Seriously, nettle tea, mint tea, you know, coconut water, things that are going to cool you down.
Yeah.
Stay away from kind of heating, caffeine, sugars, you know, stuff that's actually going to bring kind of vitality and energy in that way. And allow yourself to relax more with the heat and just.
And there's a reason
stay,
why there's strawberries
cool.
and things like that available at this time
absolutely,
of the year. They're
yeah.
absolutely perfect for the body. There's got so much water in them
yeah.
and they're so tasty at this time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish supermarkets would stop having them at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's so wrong.
Well, you can go into traditional Chinese medicine with this one and look at how in five element theory they're looking at eating for the seasons.
Mm.
So in the summer when the weather is warm and dry technically as an energy, we want to be eating cool, moist food. So making sure that we're having our kind of fresh salad and having our cool raw foods, best time to have it.
Best time.
Not a good idea to be having damp, cold foods in the winter. That's when you want warm foods. That's when stuff that's going to kind of balance the humours as it is in
absolutely.
But the cold cucumber soup that I made for you on Monday would be ideal. Then.
It was,
absolutely,
yeah. It was like
yeah.
having smoothie in a bowl, but that's fine. These smoothie bowls are in.
Next time I know to make the cold cucumber soup and put it in a glass and it'll be far more
so.
Acceptable.
Yeah,
it was very tasty. It was just odd.
It was very simple and straightforward, actually. It was a cucumber, some mint, garlic, yogurt and some water.
All those things that are very cooling at this time of the year.
So it was like a writer. In fact, I did make a curry that night and use some of that on the side.
Perfect.
Yes. So, Ben, you've got a course running tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do tell us more about it. It's in your centre in Shrewsbury.
That's
Shrewsbury,
right, yeah.
Shrewsbury.
Yeah,
I don't know what to
you
say
don't know now, do you?
Centre for Integral Health. There is the one okay. in Ainley. It's fine, yeah. So we're doing a nutrition for cancer patients workshop tomorrow, which is really a very simple, very straightforward, very accessible way of looking at key do's and don'ts for anyone who is undergoing any kind of cancer treatment at the moment, just to support the body as much as possible so that it's got as many of the resources and the building blocks and the things it needs to care for itself. And we're avoiding the really obvious stuff that is more taxing to the body, makes it harder to recover or depletes or weakens the immune system in any way.
Okay, and what time is that running? How much does it cost and where can people book onto it if
that's
they're interested?
That's from 10 till 4 tomorrow in Shrewsbury, and it's £50 for the day, and you
bargain.
Can just message me through the site, through integralhealthshrewsbury.com, and we can secure your place that way.
And as it's called nutrition, are you actually going to have things there for people to eat, or is it more talky-based?
It's going to be kind of more talky-based, but I will bring in some key little bits and bobs to kind kind of encourage people. And as you know, generally, I'm a massive fan of organics and making sure that people have organic food. And this is especially important when it comes to cancer treatment, because organic food contains a compound that we don't get in non-organic food. And that's something called a salvestrol. It's found in a lot of different types of food. And it's actually an antifungal compound within the plant. And it's interesting that there's been research in recent years indicating that cancer kind of behaves a bit like a fungus does in the body, and the nature of its behavior, in that it's something that grows in an anaerobic, so oxygen-free environment, and it's something that likes a more acidic environment. And in fact, all the way back to the 1930s, twice Nobel Prize winner Otto Warburg identified that most cancer had a hypoxic and oxygen-free environment and high acidity. So by increasing oxygenation, increasing alkalinity, you can do a lot to help cancer. But natural modern fungicides and pesticides on plants have changed how the plants respond. They don't produce the salvestrols when they've been sprayed by artificial chemicals. And so a natural anti-cancer compound that's found in organic fruit and veg isn't present in non-organic fruit and veg. And we can make a massive improvement to our chances of recovery just by switching from non-organic into organic produce.
Why? Oh, excuse me.
Oh, dear.
I breathed in the wrong
surprise.
Way. Sorry about that. I was about to say, why you hear on all the headlines, they say, oh, organic food isn't more healthy for you. But then is that because they're not looking at it in a holistic way? You know, they look at it hasn't got more vitamins, or it hasn't got this. And the headline about organic food is, you know, well, the ridiculous ones that you see is that it doesn't help you lose weight. Well, no, duh. but you know, that generally it gets a bad rap because it's not considered more healthy by
and it's so
mainstream
much more expensive.
Press. Yeah. So
actually,
what's your take on that?
This is just mainstream press not doing their research properly and being very out of date. If you look at the Soil Association's website, you'll see the study that came out 2013, 2014 that shows that organic food has 40% more nutrition in it than non-organic food. So that was an independent study. And I can never quite remember if it is University of Newcastle or Edinburgh that did it, but it was an independent study that looked at it.
It was on the telly, that.
Yeah, sure. And also a recent piece of research done over in Sweden that showed just 2 weeks of organic diet will reduce the testable levels of persistent pesticide traces in your body by 90%.
Wow.
So, you know, it's as simple as that. For me, it's a no-brainer.
And you've got your own allotment. So
that's right.
Presumably you run that as organic.
Absolutely.
Space, yes.
Yeah. And thankfully we've got people who are organic on either side of us as well.
Okay.
So we're in a really nice spot for it.
Where do you get the top up stuff for organics? Do you have a delivery at any time?
That's right. Yeah. I use Riverford Organic, who are an online delivery company. They have franchised local farms around the country. So our nearest farm is Scarewell, which is over in Cambridgeshire. But they also have farms in Cheshire and the Midlands that kind of produce their food. And their rule is that 80% of the food that we get delivered comes within 80 miles of the farm that is our central base. So, and I've been using them for years, and they're fantastic service. You can get meat, you can get dairy, you can get, you know, all sorts of stuff organically. And for me, you know, just the difference in flavour is so noticeable that I'd rather go without than get non-organic if I can help it.
And while the music was playing, you did tell us what you've gathered from your allotment today. So do share.
Yeah, sure. So I've picked up some stuff to go for a picnic later on. So we've got nasturtium leaves and flowers in there. We've got dill. We've got real tender baby leaf sorrel and chard and other bits and bobs that have come out there. We've got beet greens as well. So where I've been thinning the beetroot out to make room for the kind of full plants, I keep all those little leaves and just have them fresh. And it's just super tasty, really enjoyable, live and kicking.
Yeah. So referring back to last week's show, we had Kirsty in, and we didn't shy from our moment of truth. We both knew we'd gone off the wagon a little bit with paying attention to our diet, but we stood on the scales all the same. So and we're surprised that we hadn't actually put on more weight.
And I was very surprised.
But one of the things that I identified as we were talking to Kirsty, is the reason why my eating habits had got worse was because I'd stopped planning. So what I normally do is every week I'd write a menu plan for the whole family, then make a shopping list, all on paper, and then... But on a Sunday, it was feeling a bit like a chore. And I think I let it go when I got busy with other things. So I thought, how can I make this not a chore? And with me, it's always something new and shiny. And so I did some research and I found an online menu planner. I'm using one called Plan to Eat, but there are quite a lot of others available. This isn't actually an app as such. It's a desktop version, but you can access it from your phone as well. And essentially, it does what I do on paper. So you can put your plan in there for all your meals for the week with some notes. So mine's normally, I've got to go to Brownies by 5:30, got to do that A-Star Sports thing before then I'm going to yoga. So it's fitting all the menus around family life as well. But you can also link it to your recipes, so you can either type in all of your recipes, or if, like me, a lot of your recipes are on Pinterest, you can just link them and put them in. So as you drag the recipe onto your planner, it then populates your shopping list with what you need.
That's clever.
Which is the key for me. Yeah. It's like, oh, I like that. Yeah. And you can tell it which shop. So I want tofu and I want miso soup. So I'm not going to Lidl for that. I'm going to go to Sainsbury's for that. And I created two little shopping lists. And so I'm giving that a try. It's not a free service, but it's only something like $39 a year.
That's good.
And yeah. I'm having a 30-day trial at the moment. So I'll let you know, because I'm going shopping with it afterwards.
Brilliant.
I'm going to go and buy all the things. And interestingly enough, it's got the kids engaged a lot more. So every morning, one of the chores of my life is to go, what do you want for breakfast? 20 times before I get an answer from the kids as to what they actually want. Then I make it, and then they go, I didn't want that. So what we did on Sunday is I asked them what they wanted for their breakfast through the week. We did the shopping for that. And I forget sometimes, what do you want for breakfast? And Rhian went, it's on the plan. Sorry. I go to the plan. And it has made life a lot easier, not having to just think about what shall I do today. And I know it's a really simple thing, but it was the thing that was missing. I think the key thing that was missing from having paid attention before and done so well when we had our moments of truth. So that is plantoeat.com. And it's worth a go. If you like a bit of technology, I shall feed back at the end of my 30 days as to whether it's remained a useful tool or whether it was just an initial novelty.
But a great idea as well. And certainly with social media and internet the way it is these days, lots of recipe ideas and lots of things pop up for you. And you go, oh, that looks nice. And then you either share it or you let it go by. But if you can drag something over, and not only is it going to kind of set it into the plan for you, but it will help populate the shopping list so you don't get halfway through the recipe and go, oh, no, I haven't got that.
Yeah.
It's all done for you. So what a brilliant idea.
So we'll find out whether the idea has actually turned into a very practical solution as well.
There's also lots of stuff going on at the moment about allergies, and things like hair dyes can actually cause lots of problems for some people. The chemicals in it, what can happen, it can be like a local reaction to things like that, or actually it can be more than that. As we're breathing the chemicals in, the products can cause problems for our bodies internally. And I came across an article in a magazine I quite like. I don't buy very often. And it's called Free From Heaven. And it's a magazine that helps people with recipes that are gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, vegan. I particularly bought this up because there's a lot of raw food recipes in it. And it's talking about the benefits of a raw food diet. And this is absolutely the right time of year to bring in lots more raw food into the diet to cool down the body. But there was a page in it, and as we're very close to Chester here, there's an article about the new look Holland and Barrett that's in Chester. And one of the things they're promoting in this article is the fact that they've got one of the largest ranges of free from foods in any of the mainstream stores. And they're going to be rolling this these products out in all of their stores across the country. And one of the reasons that they're particularly keen on free from foods is that their CEO and one of their board of directors both have children with food allergies. And one has a young son with a nut allergy. The other one, her daughter is allergic to dairy, soy and nut, and had an anaphylactic shock when she was only a few months old. Now, I have my theories on why more and more children are developing allergies, but I'm going to come to Ben and ask Ben what your thoughts are on this.
It's a really interesting field, and it's something that I've spent a lot of time studying over the last 12 years with the kinesiology I do. And there are a couple of things that really highlight why we're getting more allergies. First of all is that we're in the habit, because of modern supermarket habits, of just buying the same food over and over and over again. And essentially the body gets bored and says, I can't handle that anymore. We need change. We need variation. Because there's any specific nutrients that you get from each kind of food. So we need the variation to make sure that we get the full spectrum. And we can look at things like overuse of pesticides and other products within farming. We can look at overuse of chemicals, you know, as you're talking about chemicals within dyes and so on. And very few people realize that 60% of everything that they stick on their skin, you know, ends up in the bloodstream, and that some of that is in there within as little as 16 seconds. And so the liver has to process all of that. So it actually challenges the body a lot more. But a lot of our food is now forced. It's not natural. It's not in a good space. So we end up with more of these problems far more easily, because we're not following natural patterns and natural cycles within our bodies, as well as within the kind of the planet, the landscape, the environment we live in.
And I think one of the things that goes along with that is that we don't drink enough water.
No, never enough.
We just don't take on board the one thing that the body needs in order to deal with all the other stuff that we're putting inside
Absolutely.
Of us, as well as we don't sweat properly, and all sorts of things go on. And I'll just finish this little section saying that I've often said to many people that you might as well eat the packaging these products come in. They're highly processed.
Yep.
And I get that, you know, for some people that they need the sort of look-alike products in their cupboard, because there's a huge pressure on people with true allergies, with intolerances, with sensitivities, to go, oh, it's not a problem,
yeah
don't worry about it, because it's the other person who doesn't understand what's going on for you.
But
just be careful. Don't eat completely dry, dehydrated, processed, perhaps highly sugared, highly salted foods, because that's not going to help your condition.
No. And we've got this habit for just hanging on to stuff that is the same pattern, colour, shape as the thing we knew.
Yeah.
And actually, we just need to evolve beyond that. And, you know, you could spend yourself £150, get yourself a food dehydrator, and be making your own kind of beetroot crackers and lots of stuff that is free from.
Yeah, but Ben, that takes time.
No,
you've got to think about that. You've got to plan it.
I would spend more time in a supermarket trying to find this stuff, trying to decide which one I was all right with, and reading the labels to make sure there was nothing in there that was going to be a problem for me. So whereas actually I can just mash up some cooked beetroot, spread it out on a dehydrator, dry it out, and leave that to do its own thing. It'd take me 10 minutes.
Be a happy Larry.
Absolutely.
Can I just share my cucumber week, basically? As well as making cucumber soup, I also made cucumber crisps.
Nice. Perfect.
There were a lot of cucumbers on offer at the co-op for 10p, so anything that I could make that was cucumber-based. So, two cucumbers chopped up very thinly, sprinkled with like a chilli salt.
Nice.
And then dehydrated for a few hours. They made quite nice summery crisps.
They did.
And did it take you a long time to do them?
It took me as long as it... Well, long time between deciding to do them and eating them, because it was a good 8 hours that I dehydrated them.
Yeah.
But actual preparation time, no. Just as long as it takes to slice up a cucumber or two.
There you go. So no time lost at all.
So there's all sorts of things we could continue to talk about. But one of the things we've just been discussing here in the studio is that actually you can drink too much water if you're not careful and deplete the salt in your body. So how do we remedy that, Ben?
Eat more salt.
Eat more salt, yeah. But what do we need? It's not just salt, is it?
No, sure. And it's really important to highlight there's a massive difference between the sodium chloride that is table salt and that you get in processed foods, which is a processed and synthesized and nutritionally very defunct product, and good rock salt, good sea salt that you get from a natural source, which has not only the sodium chloride in there, but a lot of trace elements, trace minerals, which are really essential for body functioning. And so it's important to make sure that if we're drinking more water, we're also having plenty of salt. And in fact, there's a very famous Iranian doctor, Dr. Batmanghelic, who years and years ago was a political prisoner in Iran. And because he was a doctor, he avoided execution, but he was expected to treat people but they wouldn't give him any medical supplies. So he actually just started doing formal research on water, and he would prescribe doses of water for people, and found over 300 conditions that he could improve by water dosage alone, and then started to map that research further by looking at how actually excess water without appropriate salt is not good. And so his generalized recommendation is for around 2 to 2.5 liters, there should be about half a teaspoon of sea or rock salt going into the diet every day to maintain electrolyte balance, because if there isn't that, you can have similar problems to too much salt and not enough water as you can with too much water and not enough salt.
Yeah, there was a program on Channel 4 on Monday evening about salt in the diet. Did you see that?
No, I missed that one. I was doing Qigong.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see all of it. Beautiful presenter, gorgeous lady doing it. And one of the things that she was asked to do, because high salt intake is associated with high blood pressure, mm-hmm. heart problems, and there's been a lot of research over the years to do with this and actually bringing the salt down in our diet. But actually, it's not the salt in our diet that's the problem. It's the salt that food manufacturers add to our food that we've no control over.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of research has been done by cardiologists. I do recommend the program to you. And one cardiologist recommended to this lady that she increased her salt intake to way above what she would normally have, and she felt dreadful. She felt absolutely terrible. She was really bloated. She put on a lot of weight in a very short space of time and just couldn't wait to stop having this excess salt in her body. She wasn't advised to increase her fluid, you know, with it as well. It's because he wanted her to feel what it was like to actually have this excess salt in her body. And I think over the years, just my opinion, that we've got so used to these processed foods, this packaged food, this ready meal culture, because we're also time starved, you know, working women, families, all of this, we're led to believe we haven't got time to do anything, but we have got time to sit and watch hours of TV.
This is the irony of it, isn't it? When you look at how easy some of this stuff is to actually do with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of practice, no system of preparing a diet takes any longer than any other. You just have to know it.
Yeah, you just have to have an understanding of it. And yeah, so she was glad to actually cut down on her salt and get back to what for her was her normal diet. And what this chat was leading on to was that we've got to put more pressure on the food companies to keep reducing the salt in the food.
Absolutely.
We've taken our eye off the ball where salt's concerned, because there's so much information about sugar coming out at the moment, and slowly but surely the food companies are adding a little bit more than actually is good for us. And so the cardiologist was recommending no more than 6 grams of salt per day per person. And that includes anything that comes into your food. As you know, it's not just have a teaspoon of salt and that's it. No, it's just be aware of what's in all of the food that you're eating.
And of course, we need to be a little bit aware of salt under other names as well. So
there's one or two other names,
aren't
there?
Yeast extract, flavour enhancer, MSG, they're all forms of sodium that contribute to this osmotic imbalance that having too much salt, having too much sodium chloride produces. So making sure actually that food manufacturers are just making less processed food and encourage more natural, you know, kind of make your own
stuff. I
think
people are shocked when they find how much salt is in their cornflakes and their digestive biscuits and things like that. It comes as quite a surprise to them.
Okay, well, we're at the end of the show now. That hour has gone quick, as it always does when we're having fun. That's it for the Diet, Health and Fitness show this week.
See you next time.
Thanks a lot. See you soon.